This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
On this, the 32nd day of the UAW strike against General Motors, the union's National Council is looking at the tentative agreement reached Wednesday. The factory-level union leaders will decide whether to pass the agreement on to nearly 49,000 striking workers for a ratification vote and whether to call off the picket lines. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here with us now. Daniel, what are the highlights of this tentative agreement?
Well, it starts off with a ratification bonus of $11,000 for permanent members, $4,500 if they're temporary employees, which is, both those numbers are records. We've never seen numbers that large. Pay increases of 3% in the second and fourth years of the contract and the base wage rate, lump sums of equivalent to 4% of their salary in the first and third years. Healthcare, which is some of the best, probably the best in the private sector in the country, remains unchanged with co-payments of only about 3% of total cost, and the national average is closer to 30%. And profit sharing cap is being removed. So if General Motors performs even better in North America than they performed in recent years, they could be getting anywhere north of $12,000, $13,000, $14,000 in profit sharing. In the old contract, it was capped at $12,000, so you couldn't get any more than that. Now, essentially, the interests of the hourly workers are clearly aligned with the interests of the shareholders, i.e., the more money they make, the company makes, the more money the employees make.
Certainly seems like the possibility is there for more money in the pockets. Now, there was a big issue and a big concern about the unallocated plants, the ones that were marked to be closed on. Where do things stand with those?
But well, we at the Detroit News, I've been writing a lot about this over the last year, as I think some of your listeners know, and we've reported for some period of time that three of those floor plants were going to, in fact, close, one of which is in Metro Detroit at Warren Transmission. Another is Lordstown, Ohio, in Northeast Ohio. It's been operating for about 53 years, and it will be wound down and closed. Detroit Hamtramck, of course, in the shadow, more or less, of the Rensen, will continue to produce vehicles. So that one was rescued. It will be retooled, and it will produce, among other things, an electric pickup truck.
I did see in your teammates at the Detroit News reporting that GM is going to be building a battery cell manufacturing plant, and it's in the area of the Lordstown plant, but not at the Lordstown plant, correct?
Correct. I mean, to put a quick finer point on this, the Lordstown complex is very large. There is a company that is forming called Lordstown, that's calling itself Lordstown Motors Corp. It has been incorporated in the state of Ohio, and their plan is to also build an electric pickup truck on the site, not using the whole facility, but on the site, and also moving their headquarters and their research and development there. And they would be partnering with a company called Workhorse Technology, I believe, or Workhorse Group out of the Cincinnati area. So they would be co-located in the site, but they clearly would not be using the scale of what is there. But their intention is to hire UAW members and have a UAW shop. The battery cell facility would be located somewhere in the Mahoning Valley, which is what they call that region around Youngstown and Warren, Ohio. And therefore, both of those things, I think the thinking, at least at GM, is that both of those things would, to some extent, help cushion the blow of the closure of Lordstown. Now, it's important to note that there have been almost 1,300 people who worked at Lordstown who've taken jobs with General Motors elsewhere around the country. And it's been stressful for a lot of those people because obviously they've got to make decisions about their families and where their kids are going to. Are they going to take them out of school? Or are they going to be renting apartments and working for 4 or 5 days and driving 3, 4, 5, 6 hours home on weekends, which is obviously can be very stressful.
So, hey, getting any sense of what the National Council members think of this agreement? Do we have a sense whether it's going to go on to the rank and file to vote?
I'd be stunned if they didn't. If the union makes Lordstown a cause celeb and says, you know, we're going to keep people on strike until you open Lordstown or give them product, I think that that would be maybe a bridge too far. This is I think at first blush you'd think this is a really, really good contract offer. The fact that they released this before they came out and did their press conference tells me that the leadership has pretty much decided that they are are going to put this out to ratification. I think GM's expectation is that they will send the people back to work pending the vote, not that they will stay out on strike, because the longer they stay out on strike, that not only costs GM, but to our point about profit sharing, it also affects profit sharing payouts for people for the 2019 calendar year. One final point I'd like to make is we, the news, have been reporting extensively on the union corruption investigation, and one of the things that we did was break a story about the fact that all three companies were talking to the UAW about closing their training, their joint training centers, which had been the source of some of this corruption. And in fact, they confirmed today in their highlighter that the GM Joint Training Center will be closed. And the building on the Detroit River, very august building that I always think looks like MI6 headquarters in London, will be sold.
So we'll be watching all of this. Detroit News business columnist Daniel House, as always, thank you.
You bet.